Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, everybody. So here is the good news. We're not going to talk about the debate too much. We're going to really try not to talk about the debate for more than at least just to acknowledge it this morning. That's the good news. And also, we got a lot of other news to discuss. The bad news is markets just sort of don't really know, I think, how to react to whatever you want to call that last night. So a bit of uncertainty here this morning. The 1 minute chart in the S&P futures, I find is enlightening in terms of how the market was reacting to that in real time. We got a lot to discuss, as I mentioned, besides the debate. We've got some vaccine news. We've got some M&A potential. We've got two direct listings today, which I don't know if that's ever happened before. So Palantir and Asana both IPOing today via the direct listing process. We'll talk about that. Our guest is Kenny Glick. He would join us at 8:35. He's from hitthebid.com. So a lot to get to besides the debate. Joel, how are we doing overnight here? I mentioned the uncertainty and just the market not really knowing how to interpret that.
Yeah, good morning, Spencer. Nice range overnight. Got up near Tuesday's high, but failed. Tuesday's high was 33.63. We got to 33.58 and a quarter. And then we had a nice dip there, and that got us right near the low on Monday. So we'll just not going to split hairs here. And this is called 32.90 on the downside, major support, because that was the low from Monday, and that was also the low overnight. Currently down 17 and a half handles at 33.16 and a quarter. You have crude in the red by 13 cents at 39.16. You have gold giving back that $1,900 level down 13.40 at 18.89.80. Silver down 60 cents at 23.84 and a half. And Bitcoin, that loses 11,000. That's down $45 at 10,770. Triple D, I know you didn't get to trade that debate because it was on after the 8 o'clock close.
Well, but, you could trade the futures, but I don't like trading the futures.
Yeah. So what did you see at after the close and then at 4 a.m.?
I mean, we're just looking here. You know, we'll give 1 minute thoughts on the debate. Is if you were sitting down for the first time, like, and you really didn't understand their platforms, and I'm still not sure if I understand their platforms, you really learned nothing from that debate. It was just a heated battle. They argued a lot, but they told you nothing about any plans for anything. So I don't think either candidate won. I think they both lost, and I think America lost too. It was just a terrible debate. I'll never get that 90 minutes back. I watched the whole thing and I was like, wow, I learned absolutely nothing. And all I did was watch a fight.
That's the takeaway. I'll never get that time back.
No, I'll never get the time back. I learned absolutely nothing. The futures didn't know what to do with it either. They rallied it through the entire debate. And then they're like, oh, it's over. And we didn't learn anything. And we don't know who won. So more uncertainty. Then they pulled the rug out from the futures. They tanked it overnight. They brought it back to even almost, but now they're down again. So futures all over the place. Nobody knows. Traders don't know what to make of that. You know, if it was decidedly that Trump won, I would think the futures would be up. If it was decidedly that Biden won, I would think the futures would be down. So maybe the market's saying that Biden won, but I don't think anything's decidedly.
I would just say I'm glad I watched baseball last night.
That would have been the better call.
Better decision for sure.
Terrible. I think that's enough said about it because we didn't learn anything from it anyway. So what's the point even talking about it?
Yep, pretty much. Today is going to be a weird day, though. I mentioned the direct listings. I don't know if we've ever had a day with two direct listing IPOs on the same day, Palantir and Asana.
Give us the symbols on those.
The only companies that, yeah, sure. Palantir is PLTR, mm-hmm. And Asana is ASAN. For whatever it's worth, both have ties to Facebook. Peter Thiel, of course, the founder of Palantir, early investor in Facebook, and the founder of Asana was also one of the Facebook founders. So both have ties to Facebook. Only companies I can think of that have done this, the direct listing, Spotify and Slack. So it will probably take several hours, if not at least till the early afternoon, to get these things traded, because remember, they're not raising new money. They're just letting the existing shareholders sell their shares on the open market. So it will probably take, and to make matters worse, you've got both companies using the same two firms, Morgan Stanley and Citadel. So it could take quite a while for us to see any trading in these two names, but have it on your radar. That makes today a pretty unique day just for the market. In terms of overall sentiment here, we mentioned the debate and the uncertainty behind that. Also, a number of headlines related to COVID vaccines. Moderna was out with the headline, so was Regeneron. So you've got that factoring into things this morning as well. Both were bullish, obviously.
And the market was up on those headlines last night before the debate. We were up substantially. We were up about 15 handles. And and most of that happened right after 4 o'clock. The big spike right at 4 o'clock was because of the Regeneron data. Regeneron had halted, so you didn't see the move in Regeneron until after 5 o'clock when it came out of the halt. But the overall market spiked up about 14 handles when that Regeneron data broke. So you would think coming in logically, you're going to have a reopening trade here today. It quietly is to a certain extent because Q's are down 0.56%. IWM, full of reopening stocks, only down 0.23%. If you do look, the cruise lines have been trading up all morning. They were trading up last night as well. Some of the airlines, they're down now, but they were up earlier. So you are seeing a little bit of separation, but this is now a market with zero direction too. I think we've been nailing it when we've been saying the last few days that sell the rips and buy the dips. Fade trade is the play. Last night, if you're fading the overnight spike, you're getting rewarded immediately. Futures sell back off. The buy the dippers come in. I'm not sure we're going to get any real clear direction here in the next month, unless we start getting a clear winner here coming out of the presidency. But the uncertainty makes the market uncertain as well. So I think it's going to continue to be a chop fest. And I think you're selling rips and buying dips.
Some people are having problems with like video on like iPads and.
Okay. Yeah. I responded to one of you. If you're hearing us but not seeing us, I guess I could say try refreshing. I'm not really sure. I'll work on that throughout the show here.
It's working on my end.
Yeah. Well, it's working on desktop. I'm going to hop on mobile right now and see how that's working.
Okay. You started out with the drug stocks, and just going on the past history, last couple times, these pops and this vaccine news really haven't been holding as much. They've tended to give a little bit back. What you've seen.
For all of it.
Yeah. That's what you saw in Moderna. You got to 74.80, and you can see this congestion here on the daily at 75. So you want to see that tested and taken out. But the longer it takes to get to 75 and over 75, maybe you'll slip back into yesterday's range. That's a look at Moderna. Regeneron, that got the pop too, hit 5.95 right on the nose. That's kind of in no man's land there at 5.95. You do have a pair of highs in the 600 handle, but that's quite a ways away. I don't think if you didn't get there this morning, that's 610, 50, 611 is the major resistance. In order to get back into yesterday's range, you got a ways to go. You got to fall to 576. It's only $6 away. So that could happen. But both have peeled off their after hours pre-market highs.
There's been separation here, and you could call it a stock picker's market, because we have seen some separation in some of the tech names. Peloton chat saying broke through $100. It had done it a few days ago, but broke through $100 once again and closing above $100. But then you saw Zoom going the other way. So separation within the stay-at-home trade as well, which is always interesting. So you're seeing Zoom have a significant fall yesterday. And then if you look, even separation within electrification of cars, your Tesla really going nowhere. But NIO, and we've talked about this one, I am long NIO in my swing trading portfolio because I've been waiting for the breakout here. Trader Stewie actually alerted me to this on Twitter there about a week and a half ago, and that's when I went long it. It's been just doing nothing, like hanging out. Well, not doing nothing, but chomping around within the range. We finally broke out on NIO. It is up another 80 cents here this morning. Some of the Chinese stocks really lifting here this morning, which we haven't talked about as well. Alibaba's up $5. Maybe that's to do with Singles Day. But NIO... big lift here, breakout. I am long. What are your thoughts here, NIO and Alibaba?
Good call on the NIO, because I know when you bought that, it was just kind of hanging out. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't pressing up. But, you know, that just goes when stocks hang around a level too long, they usually push their way through it, right? And that's eventually what you had. You got to 2174.89 here. Top of yesterday's range was 2112. I mean, there's no resistance, right? Maybe look at your average daily range a little bit later on for a potential target, which could be $1.50, $2 here on this. But a clear breakout yesterday and follow through. The only thing is that this is going to be the fifth day of this rally. So I don't know. You may see a little profit takers coming in. See what happens at 22 pre-market high, 21.85. But just move your stop up and not trying to, and pick a top. Just move your stop up. Maybe get taken out in some downward momentum. Singles days is in November, right? Isn't it?
What is the day? Didn't Alibaba have something though?
It's November 11th.
Yeah. No, what was I thinking about then?
I have no idea.
They had their investor
day. Oh, the investor's day.
Sure. What? Yeah.
Well, it's up $6. Why is it up $6? Then it's up $6 just because it's up $6. It's got to be news.
Oh, Dennis, it doesn't always have to be news for stuff.
And that $6 move in Baba is always going to be news 100% of the time. Let's go check it out. There's going to be news. Alibaba has a price target raise after investor day. So it was investor's day.
Yeah. All
right. Okay. So I screwed it up saying singles day was investor's day. So anyways, it was a day for Alibaba, and it's having a day here this morning. I'm long Alibaba, full disclosure. I've been long it for about a year. I'm sticking with it. This is a breakout for Alibaba as well.
84.86. There's your target. A lot of times, like I said,
what's your target?
No, it got to 84.86, 284.86.
Day trading target.
Yeah, day trading target. That's the pre-market high. Really nothing there on the dailies to support that as being the high of the day. It's that little bit negative of a market. 83.78, I see, is a daily high. I'm leaving out the two. I hope I'm not confusing you. And then a real juicy target today would be 290.73. That was your high on September 3rd, but this had a pullback. Yeah, I guess it did pull back by the rest of the tech stocks, but it just doesn't seem like as it was deep as some of the others. And Bob also did that in March. It had the correction, got beat up pretty bad, but I think on a percentage basis, it held up pretty well.
I speaking of Singles Day, which it isn't for a couple months, but I love the difference in cultures between the U.S. and China. Like in the U.S., we have Black Friday, where it's basically just an excuse to get away from your family and go shopping. And China, we have, are you single? Are you not married or dating? Then go shopping on the internet and buy some stuff you don't need. But yeah, I just love the difference in culture.
What about Black Friday this year?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question.
Cyber Monday. I'm short Black Friday, long Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
Trades in there, Joel.
I think the last 6 months have been Cyber Monday. I don't know.
Last 6 years.
True. Okay. Let's see. So we covered Regeneron and the vaccine news and
House of Mouse.
And yeah, okay. Disney announced layoffs last night. I guess the park reopenings aren't going as great as
shocker
as maybe some people may have thought. They're laying off
28,000
workers.
That's a lot of workers, Joel.
At their domestic theme parks.
28,000.
I mean, come on. We're in a pandemic. Who's going to Disney World? So they cited low park attendance. Come on, obviously, we're not going to have high park attendance. I mean, this is the market that just doesn't trade anything obvious. I mean, and, now it's selling off. Oh, look, the park attendance is too low at Disney and they're doing layoffs. So it's down $2.50. I mean, this is obvious, guy says. I mean, there's probably eventually going to be some layoffs. Like, you just think about the Disney story. And I know people, yes, Disney, best franchise. I loved Disney before February. I was a Disney fan before February, and I'm still a Disney fan, but I'm not a fan of the stock because I just don't know when we're going to get past this. The franchise brand is awesome, but they're in ground zero as well. And I look at this with 0% dividend. They slashed the dividend to zero. the parks attendance is not coming back anytime soon, and that's the bulk of the revenue. We've talked about that before breaking it down. It's 40% of the revenue. So you can say, oh yeah, Disney Plus is awesome, but it's not making up for those parks revenue. And here we are paying the same price, $125, at we were last year. This is where the stock was last year, $125, $30. Is there no discount for a pandemic COVID and a 0% dividend and nobody going to the parks? Is there no discount for that? There's none. So if you think Disney's cheap right now, it's not. I mean, if we get past it, you know, maybe that's, but you know, the time to buy Disney was, I guess, back in March, April, May, a time to buy everything. If you pull back to the low 100s, then at least you're getting a COVID discount. But right now, I don't even think you're getting a COVID discount. So I don't think Disney Plus is worth, you know, and people are saying, oh, it's all the Disney Plus that's keeping it elevated. But no, I don't think Disney Plus is worth $50 or $100 a share here. I think Disney Plus is worth something. But the parks is the bigger source of revenue, and they're laying people off. So you know what? This market, though, it'll buy the dip. It'll find the silver lining and probably come back just because it's Disney. But I'm not buying Disney when it's $125, paying the same price I paid for it last year with no earnings, possibly negative earnings right now, no dividend, and a pandemic still going on, and no timeline for when the pandemic's going to end. So lower Disney, 105, 110. I may be interested in the longer term. Short term, I can't get on board. But you do have support at 120, those two lows.
Yeah, I was just going to, you know, support is support until it's taken out. I mean, you just have to look at that on a, man, 28,000. I can't remember when I heard layoffs of 28,000 anywhere. I mean, that is a huge, huge number. But Dennis is right. There's a pair of lows right here, which we may see today. One, just call it just under 121. Must hold level for Disney. After that, you fall into your gap area from earnings, I believe. And that easily takes you down to 118.35. So there's a good setup. I'm sure a lot of people would like to see the bottom of yesterday's range, which is an earshot here. If you want to wiggle out at 123.68, you may get a look at that. And actually, it traded up there not too long ago. It traded almost unchanged. So, or not unchanged, I'm sorry. It traded to the low of yesterday. So keep an eye on that resistance, 123.68. Support at 121.
People challenging my 40%. Quick Google search took 1 second. In 2019, Disney Parks Experiences and Consumer Products segments from CNBC garnered $6.17 billion in revenue during the second quarter of ending March 30th, representing 41.3% of Disney's total revenue. So I think my 40% ballpark number was pretty close.
So something to think about here is if Disney is saying, hey, look, our attendance has not come back the way we thought it would, what about the other parks? You got SeaWorld.
How's SeaWorld?
You got Six Flags. You got Cedar Point, FUN, SIX, SEAS.
I mean, all these stocks. So SeaWorld, we didn't like SeaWorld before this, and obviously it had the big run up. So it's a better discount. I mean, Disney's giving you no discount really at all. So SeaWorld's 35 to 20. So you are getting a COVID discount there if you're buying it now. Fun, which is Cedar Point, which is an awesome park. I've been there lots of times. And I don't ride roller coasters anymore, but when I did, those are awesome coasters. $50 down to 27. So you're getting almost a 50% discount in that one. And then the other one you said was Six Flags.
Yeah.
And Six Flags back in March was 40 and now it's 20. So you're getting a 50% discount in Six Flags, a 50% discount in Fun, and say call it a 30% discount in SeaWorld. And Disney is giving you nothing, maybe 10 bucks. So maybe call it a 5 or 7% discount. So not getting much of a discount. I mean, you expect Disney is going to hold up. We know Disney isn't going to go under. Disney is going to survive. You know, you don't know the same with the SeaWorld. Or, you know, I think Cedar Point's going to be, which is fun. I think that's going to be fine too. But it's going to take a long time for people to get the confidence back to go to these parks and for the parks themselves to figure it out. I mean, we had a Rosenblatt analyst on CNBC last night discussing Disney and the park attendance, and he's got a buy on it. And in the same sentence, after he just says eventually they're going to get back to their revenues, in the next sentence, the Rosenblatt analyst says, well, we don't know what the park's experience looks like going forward. And he was talking and citing Universal Studios was supposed to open another park, and they put that on hold because they don't know what it is going forward. So, you know, here's the analyst saying, well, we're going to get past COVID and everything's going to go back to the way it was. And the next sentence saying, we don't know what the park experience is going forward. This is an analyst that covers the stock. So he doesn't know either. So, I mean, I look here and I have so many unknowns with Disney. Why am I going to pay the same price I was paying for the stock last year? Disney Plus is not that worth that much. That's my opinion.
Oh, no, I mean,
better safer plays for my money.
Yeah. I looked at Six Flags. That's the one that's been the laggard. I mean, it did double.
Don't forget that Six Flags cut their dividend before COVID, like back in February.
They were already in trouble.
Yeah, they were already in trouble before this crisis. So
they were $70 down to 40, and then COVID hit, and it took them down to $10 when we thought everything was going to go under, and they come back. I don't know. Do you want to buy any of these things? There's just too many unknowns for me. You think about how easy the tech trade has been, and this is why the tech trade is crowded, because you know what? These stocks, you know, we got record earnings coming from like Salesforce and Workday. I mean, and so many other, you know, all the big tech names. And then you want to go and try to, you know, go into the gutter and try to call a time turnaround in Six Flags or SeaWorld. It's really tough to do. So I think it's just tough. I think you could be right. Maybe this is going to be the bottom. Maybe we're going to get a vaccine tomorrow and all these stocks are going to take off. But, you know, we do have, you know, hopes like the vaccine's getting closer. Regeneron and Moderna both coming out with some positive data there yesterday. But even with the positive data, the stocks aren't responding like they were before. When you had positive data for Regeneron, and maybe we could blame the debate last night, you saw the reopening stocks catch a significant bid. And you're not even seeing that reaction anymore. So one, they're becoming numb to the vaccine news. Or two, the stocks themselves think we're a lot further away than a few weeks from a vaccine. And I think that's what is correct here. I don't think we're even close to a vaccine yet.
Just blame the debate. When in doubt, just blame the debate. That's fine. Blame politics. That always does the trick. What about Micron here? We did have some earnings or one earnings report yesterday. Micron was that report, and it wasn't. I guess it was fine. They beat estimate on their EPS. They beat on their sales. So the earnings was okay. The guidance was not. Their EPS guidance, they gave a range of 40 cents to 54 cents per share versus a 69 cent estimate. Sales 5 to 5.4 billion was in line, but light on that earnings per share guidance. So even though the earnings were fine, the forward-looking guidance, not so good.
What a crappy tech stock this has been. Let's call a spade a spade. What was the high in the year 2000, Joel, in Micron? MU. The old school tech stocks that just haven't come back.
Let me see.
Joel's going out. Show us that long, long-term chart. Take us back 20 years ago, because we like doing that. And what was the all-time high back in Micron when everybody had to own it? Go way, way, way back to the year 2000. I think you're going to even find higher than 50. You're only
60. Yeah, you know
what? I feel
what?
Like it was higher than that. Can you go further back, or that's it?
Let me see. I usually go back.
I remember numbers pretty good, and I kind of remember like a 75 on Micron. But
let me see.
I'm trying to look myself.
Well, they've also done several stock splits. So.
Well, those should be in there. Actually, the Micron high, I'm going to a different chart.
I got
here.
It. I 90. Got it.
Go ahead.
I got it. Yeah. 97.50. What do you have?
97.50. So $97. So if you were buying Micron back in the year 2000, a cool 20 years ago, $97, it is 20 years later, and you still are down 50% on your investment. Think about what tech stocks have done in the last 5 years. And this is your tech stock? This is the one? I mean, this, you know, it's been a value trap forever. I've been in it multiple times, in and out of it. I don't own it now. And you know what? I might never put this back in my long-term portfolio, because despite making a lot of money, this stock has just been a 20-year dog. To be 20 years later in a tech in a NASDAQ that, you know, obviously went from 5,000 to 1,100, but now back, you know, where are we on the NASDAQ? 11,000? I don't even know. I don't ever look at it that way. I look at the Qs. Where are we on the NASDAQ? Nobody knows the answer to that question?
No, because I also don't look at the index.
I know, I don't either. I just look at
the Qs. We're at 11, call it 11,322. There
you go. So anyways, you can see, you know, in the last, and obviously Micron sold off afterwards too. But I mean, all of these, this goes right into the same Cisco, Micron, Western Digital, you know, it can even kind of throw Intel in there. I mean, these have all just been the old school tech, just never came back. Some of them did, but a lot of them didn't. And this is that old school tech. And if you think that Micron's blasting off to $100, I don't think it is. I think this stock is just, if it would have did that, it would have been doing it when the Qs were going straight up for the last. And look, and I mean, just comparatively, you put the Q chart, the Qs from April over Micron chart, and Micron's kind of, you know, gone up a bit from the lows. But I mean, the NASDAQ went from, you know, the Qs went from 160 to 300. And then if you go even further, you know, you just look at the last 7 or 8 years. I mean, yes, Micron was down in the gutter at $10 back in 2016. But I mean, this has just not been the stock that makes you money in the long term. And it always seems like they find a way to disappoint. They get the pop on the initial earnings and they come out with guidance, and guidance isn't great. And there we are. We're back again. And Micron disappointing the street once again. Not interested.
Mm-hmm. You made yourself very clear on that, Dennis. Very clear. No, I mean, it's the truth. Shorter term, this thing just has to hold $48. After 48, you fall into a gap area. And I think we discussed this either yesterday or on the at the close show. I think that was due to an analyst move. And you got some follow through after that. Never like to see a move like that, a gap and go just off an analyst. You'd like to see it more out of, you know, something fundamental like earnings. But just, it had a good day yesterday. It's down $1.95. It's down, but not out. Pre-market low, though, it's telling you something. That's 48.10. So just keep an eye, $48. If not, I think you get a nice whoosh down and maybe fill a gap. You have a vacuum area down to 46.48. So be careful there under $48.
If you're wondering why the hell Duke Energy is up 6% this morning, it's because the, or 7% now. WSJ reported that NextEra had approached Duke Energy and said, "Hey, you want to let us buy you?" And Duke said, "No, thank you. We appreciate your offer." So
NextEra was looking to buy Duke. We don't know the price. We don't know any information about it. But just because they're sniffing around, and they were sniffing around, the street's got to buy it up $6, this big utility stock. Maybe there's a deal to be had. But utility stocks aren't like little tech stocks. It's not going to get a 30, 40% premium. If they were going to do a deal, it'd probably be like $10, $15 premium tops. They're giving you $6 on the rumor. So if I was long Duke, I would hit the bid all day long. That doesn't mean it can't go higher. It's been holding up the entire session.
Yeah, it has.
Maybe it gets up to, it's been holding up well, but I mean, that this is an overnight gift. So we don't know if there's a deal imminent. There may never be a deal here. It already sounds like Duke said no. And they're giving you basically, look at what Duke moves. I mean, 78 to 88 takes a month and a half, 2 months to do that, you know, to get to go $5, $6, $7. $6 overnight is a huge move for Duke. So I think it's a gift if you're along it overnight. I was not. Can it lift some of the other utility stocks? Maybe they think, oh, they couldn't get Duke. Maybe they get somebody else. It's possible. So I think utility stocks would show some relative strength here today, just potentially in sympathy with it. If you are going to NextEra Energy, NEE, they usually hit the acquirer, and that's what they are doing here in this case. They don't like the idea that NEE is looking, you know, to buy something, because that's obviously going to be, you know, well, they usually hit the acquirers in that case. So stocks down $4 there too. But again, NEE has been probably best in breed in the utilities for a long time. The dividend's not great because the stock's been so good. So it gets down the low 270s, you'd probably find buyers there. We know the stock split didn't work. The earnings weren't great. But in any regard, I think you get down to 272, 273, you'll probably find buyers again. So fade trade's been working the overall market. I believe the fade trade's going to work in these two. I don't think you're going to see immediate gratification in the Duke, but I do think, holy, we're going back to flat.
You believe that? We just had like just about a 13, 14 point rally here. It's just thin in here.
Chop.
Yeah.
Buying dips and selling rips is making you money overnight here too.
Yeah, every five minutes continues
to work.
Yeah.
Even in the short term and the long term, buy the dip, sell the rip just works.
That's what you got to do in your long term portfolio, Dennis. You got to start scalping in that.
I think so. I've tried to do that, but I scalp bad in the long-term portfolio.
I cannot remember when there was the last time there was a merger in the utility sector of any substance. I mean, that goes back a long time. Dennis looked pretty good with his technicals on this NEE. This 272, 273 area has been very important for Duke. I mean, you're getting a utility moving up, $5.60, and
crazy move.
If you caught this long, then
yeah,
that might not happen for another 10, 20 years, I think.
So I don't know what 10 or 20 years, but ain't gonna happen. I don't think there's a huge premium here, even if a deal gets done. Where do you think they're buying a Duke? It's not gonna be like, oh, we're gonna pay up 30% for a utility stock. If that deal was getting done, it's probably getting done at 90 or 95 bucks. 95 bucks. If they turned it down, it was probably offering them 90 because they didn't like the premium. So now the market's going to pay up 7% when the company itself didn't like the premium they were going to pay?
This would be like, you know how when Nike would, traded off earnings and it was up, it was gap. It was like, oh man, this thing's never going down again. And then it never saw the pre-market levels in the regular session. I would keep an eye on this one, that there's a bid there at 87, just over 87 here in the pre-market trading. You lose that bid at 87. I don't know where the heck you're going. The top of yesterday's range is way down there. So if you are playing this from the long side, anticipation of like a better bidder or something coming in, I don't know, or them up in the ante. 83.40, that's the gap down area. I don't know what NEE's doing. They do the stock split and the buyback. Then they have bad earnings, and now they're going for a takeover. I don't know what's going on in that company. I think if I had that one long term, I think I would just I would exit that one. Let them figure things out on their own. They seem to, seem to be in the news too much for a utility, right? I don't understand.
There's been a lot going on there.
Right. We just got a GDP revision. Remember, these GDP figures are annualized, so it's not as bad as it seems. 31% drop. It wasn't actually that. That's just the annualized drop. So the numbers aren't actually as bad as they seem on GDP, but that's a revision from.
Looks pretty bad to me.
Yes. Okay. It's not, I'm not saying it's good, but it's not as bad as it would seem because the number is annualized. It doesn't represent what would actually happen over the course of a year. It's just
you and economics major.
No, I just know that GDP is annualized, and therefore it's never quite as good or bad as it seems.
I did a minor in economics.
Okay,
didn't help me with my trading though.
That's true.
We'll go into my economics.
The economy and the stock market are so disconnected. Can you imagine being an economist right now? And you're trying to make market calls. I mean. Tough gig.
Maybe we'll find Mikkel. What was that doctor's name that we had on for a while?
Dr. Melnick.
Yes. Remember him, Melnick. Dennis?
No.
Mikkel Melnick?
Yeah, the crazy Russian accent. He was a nice guy. Very nice.
Holy, the goldfish memory.
He was at Kennesaw State University.
Super nice guy, yeah.
Let's get him back on so I can remember him again.
Okay.
Remember we had nice Dr. Doom on once, too. Live from Asia.
Yeah. Okay. 8:34. I'll bring on our guest here in a minute. Actually, let me just do it.
Let's bring in the guest. We're ready. We're falling apart here.
He's in the Zoom and he's raising his hand.
We're a mess here. We need help.
Kenny Glick. His site is hitthebid.com. Kenny, good morning.
Oh, we're just jumping right in, huh? What's up?
Yeah. You raised your hand, so I brought you on. How are we doing?
All right, man. What's going on? Thanks for having me on.
We are just talking through all sorts of things, moving past the debates if we can, talking about the vaccine news we've gotten. We got China up today. We've got a lot going on here. What has been on your radar these past few days or past few weeks? Have you just been trading the range like we've been trying to do?
Yeah, I like that look, by the way. Nice. I like that massive screen behind you.
Thank you.
It actually has been some of the best trading I've seen since basically 1999. It really is 1999 all over again. Cue the Prince song. No, what I've been doing is I've been chasing these IPOs. So far, any IPO that breaks the prior day high goes higher. And that was the trade we did in 1999 for basically every day. So if the IPO came out, if it actually went down, day number two, you just waited for it to break the opening price from day number one and you bought it. So we had the U, we had GDRX, we had CRSR. And there was another one, but right now we're just loving DraftKings. We're back in the Neo. We've been loving Workhouse. And we got this NNDM this morning, which has been pretty good also. So it's been a lot of stuff going on and not really holding many overnight still. You know, I had I had the U for a couple of days, got to 100. That was pretty awesome. But right now, just holding on to Neo and NNDM. And like every morning, I'm just ready to rock.
Kenny, where do you find these stocks? You got like a scanner just looking for new highs. You find them on Twitter. Where do you find, you know, NNDM, for instance?
NNDM was a friend of mine. You know, he loves these cheapies under $5. Not my thing. So I was watching it. It had a pop a couple of months ago and got to $5, got crashed right back down under $1.50. He mentioned it to take a look at it yesterday as it was coming above 220. And I was like, hey, you'll probably get back to 250. Maybe you get another spike to, you know, my VWAP is telling me around 281. So you got there this morning and then now you're just bopping around. But I don't really know too much about this. I think this is a new 3D printing type company. That has some government contracts, according to my buddy. And just joining in on the momentum, you know, sold most of it just now, but I'm trying to hang in there as long as it doesn't break under 250. And Neo, everybody knows about this one.
Yeah.
Really nice. I mean, this stock has defied, you know, logic. You know, they had that offering. You thought that would have been it. And they gobbled it up at 17. It consolidated and broke out again. Looked like it was going to roll again, and it consolidated and broke out again, and now we're at all-time highs. There's no reason not to like this. So I'm in some big calls on this one. You know, I got 20s and 20-24 call spreads for this Friday, and I got the stock. So I hope this thing, you know, hangs in there today. And if not, you know, we'll take some profit. I'm not going to let this thing go back below 21.15, which was yesterday's high.
Do you got a target?
Yeah, I'm looking for 2250. And then if we get through 2250, just like everything else, 2250 gets you 25. So if we get through 2250, I'm hanging in there and I'm thinking 25 by Friday. What's today? Wednesday? Yeah. So
you just go right to the option strikes with those prices, because that's obviously 22.5, 25, 27.5. Those are probably, you know, the standard strikes there.
Yeah.
I like it. Kenny, I like it.
I trade around those strike prices, even if there aren't any strike prices there. Because this one has, you have dollar increments. So I'm in the 2024s. I bought the 20s for like $1.12 yesterday. I sold some 24s for 15. So I got those. So now today, if this thing starts to move, I got the luxury to buy the 21s or the 22s or the 23s. But yeah, usually I'm looking at those stocks when they start breaking out of new highs. When I said you could probably go to 100, the whole point was if it gets through 80, you generally go to 100. You've been trading as long as I have. Stocks that break 80 generally go to 100, and you got the 100 on the U. So we're out of that one. Same thing with a lot of these stocks. CRSR broke 1750. We're looking for 20. We got 20 yesterday. So I've just been trading the same style I've been trading my whole life, and the VWAP's just my guide to when to call it quits on a trade. Because if it breaks back below the VWAP or above it and I'm short, trade's over for me. I don't let my thought process get in the way, because I've been wrong about this market for a while. You know, I thought we'd be going lower still, and we bounced, you know, 17 points on the Qs already. So
I just want to stop him on that point before you go away, because it's such a great point that he's made. He's saying he's been wrong on the market, but his trading is still doing well because he's following his systems. I do the same thing. I'm right, I'm wrong, I'm all over the place. You know, sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. It's a difficult market to call day to day, but yeah. I'm very systematic in my approach, and it's why I'm more consistent. You know, like a stock like Neo, I'm long Neo as well. And you look at something like this and you're like, well, it's got the good route to strength, it's going up. The market, if I was just looking at the market, I might have shook out of this thing because the market started to puke. But, you know, here's a stock that's holding up well, and your systems, you know, keep you in something like this.
Correct. Yeah, bucking the trend. You know, one of the first lessons I learned was that, you know, just because you're, let's assuming like if the market's crashing or getting hammered and you have a stock that's up, you just assume, the market will catch up to that. It's incorrect. Usually if you're bucking the trend, there's real buying going on here. You want to stay with the trend of the individual stock. So yeah, that's why I'm loving the Neo, and I'm loving it already this morning, how it's, you know, it's had a couple of little pullbacks and just hanging in there. So I'm thinking about buying more. Hopefully it does dip so I can get some a little bit cheaper.
A couple questions for you, Kenny. First from the chat, how far out do you go on your calls?
I'm usually looking, I'm a day trader, so I'm looking at the money closest to expiration. So I'm in this week's, and if I want to own something, then I go out. Usually I'm a seller of puts. So let's say I really love this NEO and I want to be in it bigger, and I don't think this thing's going below 1750. I'll go look at, like, let's say a December or January 17 put, and I'll sell the premium there, assuming that this thing's not coming back down, you know, just to have a little, just to, you know, add to the stock in that I didn't get enough at 17 and change, sell some puts down there. But normally, you know, I'm going right at the money or slightly out of the money at the closest expiration, just like the U. When the U came out, I'm not looking at February contracts on U. I'm buying the ones that just came out that second. As soon as they came out, we're buying right there, those Octobers, whatever we can get.
Yeah, I just want to caution anyone that's buying weeklies that expire in like 2 days, just be careful. Because short-term
weeklies were designed to sell.
Well, it's a day trade. If these trade, especially if you're trading, and we love them on Thursdays and Fridays too, because normally what we're doing is we're just trading the stock for the day. So why would you go out and buy, you know, a June 2021 NEO $30 call when you just want to make this dollar that's happening right in front of us, you know?
And then second point I want to make, Kenny, you were on our show. It was either in March or May. I forget when, but you were very early on the SPAC trade. You gave us the company that, or the ticker that eventually became.
Yeah, what was the Nikola before?
VTIQ.
Oh, that's right. VTIQ.
And Kenny said that, and we had no idea what he was talking about, but we rolled with it. And then a few weeks later, you know, it became Nikola, and the rest is history.
What do you think now? What do you think now?
He's long gone.
I don't even know. But I tell you something: the day where the news dropped, and there was like this. First, they had the GM. Everybody was like, "Oh, this must be a real company now." And then 2 days later, this thing's getting, you know, destroyed. There was a moment during that day where the stock actually went green. So that was a great day. It's like completely caught everybody off guard. And I love that trade when everything's telling you that this thing should be going down and it fights it off and goes green and rips the short's heads off. Those are good days. Obviously, it rolled back over and got hammered again. But, you know, again, I'm more of a liquidity trader and just, you know, looking for opportunities, you know. The only other stock I own right now is DraftKings because, listen, this stock was doing well before sports came back. So how are you not loving DraftKings now? I'm on the site every day. You know, you got through the 40s, you got to the 50s, and, you know, you almost hit 60 already. So if this thing pulls back to 47.50, I'm buying this one for my kids. I'm buying this one for my mom. I'm buying some DraftKings. The way I look at it, I'm looking at it 37.50. If I could get it at 47.50, I'm risking 10 points for a stock that's probably going to be $120, you know, $150 stock 3 years from now. I'm risking 10 points to make 100 points on this stock. I love DraftKings.
If you're bullish,
what about
DraftKings,
the other gaming stocks?
Yeah, what about Penn? What about Penn Gaming?
That one, I don't know enough about it, and I think it's gone. What is it? It was a $5 stock trading at 70. That one's a little bit too rich for me. But and I don't know enough about it. And you know, I got the DraftKings in my life. And
stick to
watch
stock, you know. Stick to what you know. That's
yeah.
Good.
And by the way, the market was gapping down about 5 minutes ago. We never go down ever.
I tweeted that last night. You must be reading my tweets.
<It's> just, I don't know what that sell off was in the futures, but I mean, you just can't stay short, especially the Qs. And like I said, I've been dead wrong. When we went looking down at that 262 area on the Qs, I was buying, you know, 258 puts. I was thinking 251 minimum, maybe 238. And, you know, I got blown out of that trade. So, yeah, like I said, I've been wrong about this market. I thought we had some more downside. And, you know, once again, the government comes to the rescue. Yeehaw, America.
I should mention that Penn got an upgrade this morning, or not an upgrade, a price target raise from Rosenblatt. Raising it to $90, so that could lift Penn and DraftKings this morning. Also, I don't know if we've ever mentioned before, but if you are into the space, and you want some international exposure, the parent company of FanDuel is also publicly traded. It's OTC. It's listed in London, but you can trade it in the U.S. The ticker is PDYPY, And that's Flutter. That's Flutter. They own
too many letters.
They own FanDuel.
Oh, yeah. They're the one that bought
They bought the Stars Group.
Stars Group.
They own FanDuel. So this is some international flavor.
We hate them for that.
All right. Cool, man.
If you're into that trade. Kenny, are you going to be – you mentioned the IPOs. Are you going to dabble in these direct listings today? We got Asana and Palantir.
I've been waiting for Palantir for about 2.5 years when I read about this company.
Yeah,
What does it do? What? I don't even know what they do.
No one knows.
To me, it sounds like the CIA is going public today. Like, why would they want to go public? I heard he's just like a spy software that's they're watching us right now. We shouldn't even be talking about it. I hear that they're in cahoots with every government across the planet. So I want in. So as long as the stock's not completely overvalued, which I don't know anything about valuation, I'll just base it on the price. But yeah, we'll see how the action is. But I'm very excited. This is one of the IPOs I've been excited about mostly.
Well, they're not raising new money, so I guess that would speak to not being overvalued. But yeah, I think I remember from their S1 that they said that they couldn't disclose like who their biggest clients were, which just means DOD.
Any stocks you're picking on at all? Anything on the short side?
Well, can I just give a shout out to all you Amarin lovers out there? Haha, you lose again. Amarin stinks. U.S. Steel stinks.
Dogs, stay dogs for a long time.
Yeah, it's like
you're talking to.
Because I'm on the message boards, not as much as I used to be, but man, when you pick on a stock, everybody they come after your family. I love the idea that they think I'm some sort of paid basher. Is that a job? Is there a real job out there where you get paid to bash stocks on message boards? I would love that job. That sounds like a great job.
But sounds fun.
Your mother stinks. Oh my God, you're gonna burn. I'm just telling you, if the stock breaks 750, it's going to 5. I don't mean any harm to you. I'm just trying to let you know. And they just insult my mom. They're coming after my kids. I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm not really looking at too many, shorts. I really started hating on that Rocket Mortgage again. Thank God I got out of it.
But I got back in. I wish I would have stayed out.
It's been an ugly one. Obviously,
last time me and you dogged it, it took off 5 or 10 bucks. So
I was insulting it as much as I possibly could that day because I owned it. I was just like, I was mortified that I bought an IPO that broke a high and then it tanked 40%. I was like, wait a minute, that's not the way it's supposed to work. This company must be a fraud. But I don't know. Yeah, I'm hating on the UVXY right now. What happened to that product? It serves zero purpose now. It doesn't
always serve zero purpose.
I mean, it used to have some sort of purpose. It would show a little bit of strength to maybe predict a sell off. Now it does nothing. It's just awful.
It's a product CNBC. For people to lose money in. High, so I can't even go back. If we go back to 2014, the high is $179,800. How is that possible? Because this thing just continues to deteriorate over time. If you own this thing out 6 months, you just lose money. Yeah. So, and then I know like, and Bob Bray, obviously at Bray Trading there, who's owned and run Bray Trading for years. Now Rob runs it, but he was just short all of these products and just killing it. And then you know what they do? They pull the rug out from under that strategy too. And they put these ridiculous borrow rates on these things.
Yeah.
And you can't make money shorting them like you could before either. So or they make them hard to borrow. They just get ridiculous rates on them. So it's like, this is a product that even the shorts that know it's going to go down still lose money somehow because they charge you too much to borrow the thing. Absolutely. So these are toxic products that should have never been created. And they are literally just a way to lose money. Do not buy these things long term. You will lose money. There's no guarantees in life, but there's like a 99.9% chance if you hold the UVXY out more than a couple of years, you're going to lose money.
Wait a second. There is a guarantee in life. The Jets will never win a game ever.
That might be true. That might actually be true.
Well, that applies to the Lions as well. So actually, we won, though. The Lions won a game.
Jets or the Giants. I'm not sure New York football will ever win a game ever again. At least we have the Yankees. All right. Kenny Glick is from hitthebid.com, one of our favorites. Kenny, thank you so much as always, and stay safe out there.
Good luck. You too, guys. Be good. I'll see you soon. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Kenny.
All right. 850 here. Number of interesting ratings today. Starbucks getting an upgrade. Shopify getting an upgrade. Canada Goose upgraded. Hasbro upgraded.
Look at this. Analysts coming out of their slumber. Yeah. So again, Tuesday night to Wednesday morning is usually one of the big analyst days. I know I trade analyst ratings a lot. I even have like a formula where so much is worth so much, you know, because if I think the rating's worth 5%, it's only up 2%, I'll buy it. So, I mean, I trade ratings probably more than anything. And I've got the whole type of quantitative arbitrage strategy around it. So I follow it very closely. So I can tell you with certainty, it's usually Monday night and Tuesday night are big ratings night. Usually Tuesday night's the biggest one. You never see any analyst ratings on a Friday night because they're already left. You know, they leave Thursday. They don't want to work Friday night. Who's putting research reports out on a Friday night? So I trade differently that way too. I'm always cautious. If I see a stock moving after hours and I don't see anything on it, I was like, oh, it's probably a rating because it's Tuesday. If it's Friday and I see a stock moving, I think it's just dumb money and I would fade it because the only thing coming on Friday might be somebody trying to sneak in some, bad news type deal. But understanding the day of the week and how the stocks trade after hours is a strategy in itself as well. But taking you right back to Shopify, which would be my rating of the day, Wedbush making the call here. Give us the details, Spencer, on that rating on Joel Breakdown Technicals.
Yeah, Wedbush upgrading to buy, raising their price target to $1,300.
So this is just, again, and we had Andrew left on yesterday, and if you missed the interview, one main point to take off is something that me and Mitch have been saying forever. Story is everything. That's what we mentioned that to Andrew, and he says it's the only thing that matters. The Shopify story completely intact. The valuation is nuts. It's insane. But you know what? It doesn't matter because this market doesn't care about the bottom line. It only cares about top line. Top line's growing like crazy. The story's intact. It's online. It's everywhere it wants to be. And analysts are all hot for it. And that's why it continues to even find upgrades. When you think everybody's already upgraded the thing and got a buy rating on it, you can find another one that had a neutral rating to come up to buy. So am I a buyer of pullbacks on Shopify? Probably. Am I sticking in my, long-term portfolio at these? No, that's a different story. In long-term investing, you got to use a little fundies. But as a trader, you care zero. If you're a short-term trader, swing trader, day trader, give zero to fundamentals. Get absolute zero to fundamentals. Don't sit with your, calculated P and think you're going to make money on the stock in the next week, because that is meaningless. Over the 20 years, it might mean something. But in the short run, especially in this market, all that matters is the story. And the story in Shopify is still intact. That's why I'd be a buyer of pullbacks in Shopify.
Interesting area that it's coming into. You did just sneak over 1050 earlier. That actual high comes in at 1050.55. But this is the big bogey for the stock here. On its fall from grace from that 1150 area, you had a daily high at 1058.70. So that's the big one. Getting through the 1050. This is it's back. It's making a new high for the rebound off the 850 low. So you're still $6 away from the pre-market high, but a little bit longer term looking at that 1058.70 level. But
don't chase though. It's up 200 points. Yeah. I mean, here's a good point OP is making in the chat. I mean, it was $901 4 days ago. So now it's 1050. You're buying it now? Now you're doing it backwards. What have we been saying? Where do we start the show? Buy the dip, sell the rip. I mean, you get up near 1100, you got all sorts of resistance on this. It's more of a time on some of these stocks to maybe be thinking about taking profits if you're a short-term trader. But you get a nice dip, you get back to the 950 area in Shopify, then you strike. Just like Kenny was saying, if DKNG was to pull back to that 4750 level, he'd load the boat. So he's buying the dip in a strong stock. Buy the dips in strong stocks, sell the rips in weak stocks. That makes money.
What about Turtle Beach today? Ticker HEAR. Not a ton of analyst coverage, but they're getting initiated this morning at a buy from Stifel. I think Stifel might be only the fourth or fifth sell side analyst with coverage on this stock. So very lightly covered. Buy rating this morning from Stifel, $23.50 is their price target for HEAR.
Been a quiet stock. Mitch was actually talking about this one yesterday. So, and obviously gets the rating here now. If this breaks above 18, it's in breakout mode. Yeah. This is a rating. Stifel, is the quiet analyst that moves stocks. I have a, you know, when you, I rank them all, I got Stifel, believe it or not, near the top. It's right up there. And you don't think about Stifel, you know, as having as much influence as a Goldman Sachs, but they, when they make calls, the stocks move. Stifel will move stocks, and it's up 3% this morning. It's kind of quiet. It's a sneaking, it's not much volume. If you can pick this one up on the cheap, I think it breaks out today. I think it can move over 18. 18 still resistance.
Look at that. Look at that.
But just, I think this is the kind of rating that can make it break out. I might, I don't own it right now. I might try to buy this on the open because I think this rating could move the stock.
And there is just so many. It highs at 18 here. Huge. Between 18 and 18.31. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So there's your clear bogey up 55 cents. Not a lot of pre-market trading here, but wow. Yeah, then you get to that. Then you got to work through that candle, you know, where it came off the 21 high. It had a bad couple days, so you're going to find some intermediate sellers in there, but I like this one. Just clearing 18, currently trading up 55 cents at 16.85.
And then that same analyst at Stifel,
sorry about the chart.
That same analyst, Drew Crum at Stifel, is upgrading Hasbro to buy this morning, giving it a price target of $100.
Again, Stifel moves stocks, Hasbro. You know what? This is just like the opposite of Mattel. I don't understand it to a certain extent, but you know, obviously they've got, you know, the, from a relative strength perspective, they've just killed Mattel. You look at the longer term chart here, and if you just take, and I try not to think of it as a toy maker, but if you just looked at it and you didn't know what it did, and you were just looking at the technicals, and you looked at the chart from the last 3 months, you see all this, you know, $80, $80, we've been hanging out at $80, it feels like forever, the $80 area. Eventually, you might get a breakout. And what Kenny was saying, if this thing gets over 85, then you think about 90. It gets over 90, you think about 95. I like that strategy. I think that strategy works. It's very simple, but simple works. And I think if this thing could get over 85 and hold it, I think then you're in breakout mode. And maybe that $100 target isn't unrealistic. I have trouble buying it, though, because it makes toys.
Yeah. Pair of highs, 83.14, 83.26 from the second and the third. You're up above there right now. A couple thousand shares have traded. So you just want to make sure it doesn't lose that 83.20 area. The breakout, if you were looking at just like on a daily chart and you just wanted to trade it on a daily, if it looked like, you know, two highs at 82 would have been fun. But I don't know if you're going to get that low today. Maybe over the next couple of days it might drift lower. But old resistance there, new support. And looks like you're clearing those pair of highs at 83 and a quarter.
I just looked up what Hasbro's brands are. So they've got all the Disney licensing. So they make all the Star Wars and the Marvel and the Disney princess toys. But they've got Monopoly. They've got Play-Doh. They've got G.I. Joe, Mr. Potato Head, Tonka, Nerf.
The good ones. The timeless ones.
I guess those are the good ones. I don't know.
Well, they're timeless. I mean, my kids plays with Play-Doh. I played with Play-Doh. I played with Mr. Potato Head as a kid. My kids play with Mr. Potato Head. So I guess they've just figured out the timeless ones.
I guess.
Mattel's got Barbie, though, right?
Yeah.
So that's their big one. But I mean, you think about like through the years and, you know, if you have the timeless toys, they continue to just pump them out.
I'm with James in the chat, though. Like, who honestly cares about that stuff when I've got, you know, iPhone in my face, you know.
Well, that's what I said. I have trouble buying the breakout here because of the toy maker. But if you just looked at the technicals, and it seems like this market is trading purely technically, this looks like a cup and handle potential breakout in Hasbro, and it does look like it could go to $100. So forget it's a toy maker. If you're just say trading the technicals, I'm not saying chase it. I hate chasing stocks, but if you get this, you know, thing in the 82s today, maybe it pops up to 84 and then pulls in a little bit with the overall market. It could go. It didn't work in Polaris yesterday, though. I'll tell you that. That Polaris chart, and obviously it's trading up here this morning, but that Polaris chart did not work yesterday. It was up in the pre-market. It was going to be on Mad Money, and it went down all day. Obviously, the market not helping it. It's popped back up here this morning, but sometimes, you know, when you're chasing, and I tried to chase a Polaris a little bit, you get hurt. So here I say, don't chase. I tried to chase Polaris, and I lost money on that yesterday.
Yeah, we actually talked about it coming back into yesterday's range.
I struck too early. I thought, you know, when it pulled back, it was like 96, and then I started striking in 94, 93, and it just kept tanking. So, and I've sold it. I had to cut the loss because it kept tanking. And obviously on short-term trades, I stopped myself out, but I thought that I would get more love for Mad Money, and it didn't. It didn't get any love at all. A little bit where, and you've seen the Jim Cramer trades off Mad Money. It used to be like, oh, you buy it, it's going to be on Mad Money. It'll automatically go up. Very crowded trade right now. And you're actually seeing them go down after they're on Mad Money. So I think everybody's just now seen that trade, and it's crowded. So be careful just buying stuff because it's going on Mad Money. I thought it would have got some life ahead of it. I'm kind of like the Mad Money is the event. So I thought it would have been lifting ahead of the event, but that didn't even happen. Sold off all day. But again, the market probably didn't help it either.
All right. It's already 9 o'clock. Time kind of flew by this morning. See, I told you we wouldn't talk about the debate for more than a couple of minutes. And I feel like
there was a debate.
Yeah, I feel like we stuck to that. So I know there's a bunch of stickers in the chat. I'm sorry we didn't get to them. I've written a few of them down. We'll cover them at the 3:40 show, Joel and I. But we're out of time for the day. I want to thank our guest, Kenny Glick. Thanks to all of you in our chats. I want to see some more likes. I love seeing likes. It helps us with the YouTube algorithm, and it just makes me feel better about myself. So thanks for those likes that we've gotten. Thanks to all the super chats. Please remember, all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. Like I said, we'll be back at 3:40 p.m. Eastern time on our YouTube channel. Until then, everyone have a good rest of your Wednesday.